DeSanto Propane is four generations strong as a trustworthy family-owned business with unmatched customer service. Go online at DeSantoPropane.com for more info or call toll-free at 1-800-752-4574. Since 1937, the difference has been DeSanto Propane.
Do you want to know what's happening in the Finger Lakes? We do too. We're going in depth with decision makers in the heart of upstate New York to get the answers you need. From the team of FingerLakes1.com, this is Inside the FLX.
Welcome to another edition of Inside the FLX. It is time for our monthly chat with Geneva Mayor Steve Valentino. Mayor, thanks so much for taking the time this morning.
Good morning, Josh, and always thank you for the opportunity.
Let's get to what I thought was going to be a light agenda night last night, but we had some breaking news in the city. Chief Colton has resigned. Mike Passalacqua is back. What can you tell us about the situation, how we got here, and where the city's going now?
Yeah, I mean, you're accurate. The best I can say at this point is Chief Colton has put in his resignation as of last Friday, the 29th. We are immediately starting the search of the process for the new replacement for police chief. And I just can't thank City Manager Amy Hendricks and going to be interim, but previous our chief, Michael Passalacqua, for coming back and being the interim chief of police while we go through this process. So, you know, that's the best I can tell you at this point.
Of course. What would be the expectation then for timeline in this process? Obviously, from what I understand, some of the civil service testing and whatnot, the results, they're still valid. So will that potentially help speed this process up a bit so that the police department can get back going again with a permanent chief here sometime this year?
Exactly. You know, those tests, the results are still there, so we don't have to wait for the civil service test. We had previously two internal candidates, and those two lieutenants, that was one of the reasons for going to the interim police chief, was to allow those lieutenants to return back to their original position. And if they're still interested in the chief of police position, they can definitely move forward with that. And any of the previous candidates that were in the mix originally can be considered also. Sure. So yeah, we expect the process to be expedited, especially when compared to the previous time we did this.
Sure. And I'm curious, just sort of, obviously you can't share details, but as far as city council is concerned, how is the rest of city council taking the news and taking this moment now where, you know, you're going to be spending at least the next few months trying to find a new police chief?
Well, let's just make it clear, because the city manager is responsible for hiring the chief of police. So council's role in the actual hiring process is more of monitoring how the city manager's process goes. And the city manager was very effective last time by including members of the community in that search process. So I expect that to take place again. You know, as far as city council, we all have been concerned since the beginning of the year. You never expect these kind of things to take place. You want to be as open and transparent as possible. There's a lot of legal implications to it, too. So council is definitely a little bit restless on this. We'd like to get some things behind us. We've got a lot of things going on, and we can talk about some of that stuff as we move forward, Josh. But, you know, that's not the only thing happening in the city.
Sure. Absolutely. A lot going on. Speaking of that, the solar eclipse, I think this is going to be the last conversation I have about the solar eclipse until ever, because I don't plan on talking about this after April 8th. But as far as the city goes, how are you guys preparing? How do you feel heading into what will likely be a very, very busy weekend and Monday for you guys?
Well, Josh, this is being recorded, so I want to hear you not say anything on April 9th, because I think everybody will be talking about it the day after. So I think, you know, as far as the city goes, we took a early look at this, and our commitment was on safety. So the city's role is really just to provide the safe environment for everybody that wants to come and view the solar eclipse. We're fortunate enough to have other organizations, the BID and other organizations, that are focusing on the entertainment end of the solar eclipse and the economic impact of the solar solar eclipse. So, you know, as far as the city goes, we want to make sure traffic is under control. Our DPW team is really focused on trying to provide as much safety on the 5 and 20 corridor. We're not going to have any parking on our lakefront. You can imagine with all this rain that anybody parks on grass, it's going to be a mess. We are going to have shuttle services from the old Real Eats up by the old Tops building down to our lakefront. And there's a lot of great events. So I tried to tell people last night, I tried to announce it. Let's just not focus on Monday, because we have a lot of great things going on throughout this weekend. We have a jazz festival. We've got our first Friday of the month. The BID will be putting that on in our downtown. So starting Friday, there's going to be just a string of events that are going to happen all the way through Monday. So don't just wait for Monday. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get into the meeting last night. Obviously, light agenda, like I said off the top. Your biggest takeaways from last night's session?
Well, number one is we have a full council now, which is fantastic. We swore in 6th Ward Councilor Tom Morocco. We're glad to have him on board. And, you know, Tom's drinking from a fire hose at this point. So we're trying to get him up to speed with all the important issues that are coming at him as quickly as possible. And I can thank Tom for, you know, not only putting his name in the hat of being elected, and you know, he's taking this position very seriously. So we're looking forward to Tom being part of our team. The next thing that happened was we had the Hobart men's ice hockey team. And they, again, national championships 2 years in a row. So we had the whole team show up. We did a proclamation last night, and Coach Mark Taylor, President Guerin was there. So it was a great event. It's a great team, great group of guys there. And just, you know, the accomplishment of 2 years in a row getting a national championship is just huge. So that was those are two of the biggest highlights of last night. Short-term rentals. Even though the agenda was light and we did add three resolutions, short-term rentals was probably the longest discussion. It's probably our most complicated discussion. Me and Councilor Peeler have been doing this for over a year on zoning and short-term rentals. So we're ready to move things along, but other councilors are still getting up to speed. And I can say that I think next Wednesday, the 10th, we will have our work session, and we'll come out of that work session with some definitive solutions to the current ordinance and the fees that are going to be associated with that.
To that point, I'm curious, is there anything left to be debated or discussed? Because it seems like the short-term rental issue has been ongoing now for many, 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 many months. And now two different councils essentially as well. What are the sticking points right now that you think are imminently being resolved so that this thing can move forward?
I think the biggest thing is that short-term rentals is something new. So, and all the ordinances going into place, all the regulations that are trying to keep things under control are being challenged in the court systems. So as we implement the ordinance and as we try to execute the accountability portion of the short-term rentals, the challenge is that things are being fought in the court system. So we're trying to navigate through that. It is a challenge. You know, and for us, I think that the biggest thing is it's impacting the fabric of our neighborhoods. And Councilor Peeler probably said it the best last night. You know, the single family homes are what build the fabric of the community. And those single family homes are being impacted not only in cost, but availability based on short-term rental coming in, because people want to take advantage of the incomes they can make off of short-term rentals. So we're trying to balance that. You know, how do you have that economic development impact? How do you provide short-term rentals for tourism? Because that's a big part of our industry. But also, how do you keep the fabric of the neighborhoods and the single family homes available to residents that want to live in the city of Geneva? So for us, I think the biggest thing is, how do we get accountability? We will be talking about our state representatives on occupancy tax and, you know, how do you control fees and at least the ability for owners of short-term rentals to be responsible to the surrounding neighbors.
All right. And now we've got some non-council meeting headlines to get to from the last few weeks. First things first, obviously. The closure of, or the soon to be closure of the Fryhoffers bakery and also the Geneva Movieplex. Lots of discussion and debate on social media about what this means or what the trend line is for Geneva. Your thoughts, I wanted to just give you your space to kind of speak to that, and maybe some of the concerns that you've heard from folks who think that this might be yet another signal that the city or Geneva at large is headed the wrong direction.
I guess being in manufacturing for over 40 years and, you know, talking about efficiencies and economics constantly, it's an economic thing. And, you know, I've tried to explain this from anybody that maybe is 17 up to 70. And I said, if you owned either one of those businesses and your business was not thriving economically, you couldn't make ends meet or it wasn't profitable, you'd have to make tough decisions. And I think that's what these companies are doing. They're making those decisions based on the economics. And it's interesting when you start having those conversations, people say, oh yeah, the last time I watched a movie, there was two people in the movie theater. And why go to the movies when you have this Netflix or Hulu or whatever the access you have in your home with an 80-inch TV that feels like you're right in the movie theater too. So for me, our cultures are changing. And, you know, if it was just one Fryhoffers or not the whole East Coast, it would be a different conversation we're having. And will there be or is there already another bread supplier that's in the mix that's taking over that market share for that company? I think what we're seeing is just what you see naturally in the overall evolving culture and overall economics, not just in the city of Geneva, but you can look anywhere and see this. So what's the next fad going to be? You know, what's going to replace a movie theater? I hear people are trying to revive the drive-ins. You know, there's a lot of options that will come along. And I don't think it's a signal that Geneva is going downhill by any means. I think it's a signal that we're in changing times, and those changing and evolving times will produce another economic opportunity.
Does this point to, speaking of that particular plaza where the Geneva Movieplex is, does this point to an even bigger opportunity there now for that space now that the movie theater is gone effective a few days ago and it's one less tenant in that building?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is you know, we tried to capture this in our zoning changes too. You're going to see things that make a different change, and you're going to have developers that come in that have that insight or that future look at what would be potentially viable economically. And I think you're going to see the mix, you know, so the housing mix along with the retail mix come in. You see a lot of that that's helped downtown. There's public and private investments that have gone in our downtown that have made living spaces much more desirable. I think you're going to see that same kind of trend take place up in the plaza.
And Geneva's getting another Dunkin' Donuts, or I guess just Dunkin' as they like to go by now. When will work begin? Obviously, with that particular property, the Gateway property, that was a long, long process for you guys. What can you tell us about the timeline now of how things will proceed now that the official stuff's out of the way?
Yeah, I think you're going to see that accelerated. I don't know if you've ever been to the Dunkin' Donuts up on 5 and 20 and you had to wait in that line that's all the way out onto 5 and 20. I think it's going to be extremely welcomed in the community. I think a lot of people will definitely gravitate to the new one. As far as the timeline goes, I think you'll start seeing things kind of be expedited based on getting through the planning board and all the plans that were implemented. I think you'll see them start breaking ground in the next month or two. The space has been prepared, which is great. A lot of the hard work is already been put in place. We'd like to see them up and running by the fall, but you know, that's going to depend on a lot of the challenges that they're going to run into.
Is there going to be a drive-through with that particular location?
Yes,
there is. No, okay,
there will be.
Okay, and finally, 5 and 20. We're not done yet there. Talk to us about what the next phase is with that, and what that's going to look like this spring, summer, and probably a bit of fall.
Yeah, our DRI captured a lot of the 5 and 20 renovations that we've seen, you know, the road diet from 4 to 2. This is state-driven, so we don't have a lot of control. In fact, we kind of wish the timing was pushed out by a month to at least get past the eclipse. But fortunately, we're not seeing the road tore up by Monday, so it won't impact, the eclipse and the traffic challenges that we're expecting to happen. But the state's coming in and they're going to, I don't know if you saw the information, but they're going to do a road diet, but it's not going to be as drastic as what's going on right in front of the city of Geneva. We're going to have two lanes in one direction, one lane the other direction. And if you're a bicycle rider, you're going to be welcoming this because the bicycle down the side of that has been jog breaking at times where you go down through there, where you're jarring your bicycle around. It's going to be a nice smooth. We're going to have a bicycle lane in there. So I think the improvements are going to be welcomed. And it's going to tie into what we've already done with our DRI.
Yeah, absolutely. And one last piece of good news for Geneva, just quickly, your thoughts. Garlic Fest is back on. Bid found a new manager for it. Happy to see that continuing on.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Garlic Fest is something that was really welcome to the city of Geneva. I think it fits well on our lakefront, and I really think the opportunities for that to be expanded in the future. I'm glad they found somebody to kind of help them along with promoting that and executing that. And, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of good things going on in Geneva. You know, we have to look at challenges that we've had to deal with since the beginning of this council. Nothing like the council in 2020 that had to deal with COVID. So I think we're in a good position. We're starting to look at positive things. And a lot of times we look at what gets accomplished in the first 100 days. There's a lot going on in the city of Geneva. And, you know, last night we actually appointed a new legal firm for the city of Geneva. We have Boylan & Co. coming on with us with Romer, Walling, Minow, and Gold. So we have a new legal firm that's going to be representing us for the next 3 years. And tonight we will be reviewing applications that we did interviews for our city clerk. So this council has been busy behind the scenes or in the scenes, and we got a lot of great momentum, and I think we got a good team. So we're going to get some things moving.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you as always. We will be talking to you next month.
Thank you very much, Josh. Take care. Have a good day.